welcome everybody to this. Is the second day of the FA Film Festival. Some of you will be aware that this event ran from yesterday through to Sunday. It's essentially a collaboration between ourselves, but the Institute for the Moving Image. Laura Mulvey, my colleague, is the director of Birkbeck Institute Moving Image, and I'm her co-director. It's a collaboration between ourselves and the ICA. So as you'd have seen from the programme, and if you haven't got one, this is a kind of, this black document here is the programme for the whole event. We have a number of things going on at Birkbeck during the day, principally in the cinema, projections, discussions, and so forth. Essentially, projections, really, from now on. And in the evenings at the ICA, there's a very full, rich programme of screenings running through until Sunday. Some of the features, in case you haven't seen, the Otolith Group, Tom Anderson. We have an Iranian film profession documentarist on Saturday night, which should be excellent. So we have a number of things. I'd encourage you to have a look at the programme in general. And I know that for some of tonight the premiere of Tom Anderson's new film is apparently ultra sold out. But I think some of the other events, they expect to have a certain amount of people to just come in on the day. So there are tickets for some of the other things. So today's session, which we've entitled Rediscovering Efra Shoup, is essentially made up of, again, screenings with a certain amount of presentation. What we're going to do, I will hand over to Graham Roberts in a second, and Graham will be making a short general introduction around Shoup, and also introducing the first film we're going to see, which is today. So this will be 35mm projection. After which, Bernard Eisenschitz, who's with us today as well, will be making a presentation. So we'll then have a break from 2 to 2.45, which I know is short, but we had to sort of pack quite a lot in. And then after the break, we have my colleague Esther Leslie, who will be talking particularly about Shoup's unfinished project called Women, the film that she never got to make. And then Michael Shannon, who's with us here, will be introducing Komsomol. And that will be the film that will be about 3.45 to 4.45. As ever, I'm sure we'll be running a tiny bit late, it tends to happen, but I hope we'll have a little bit of room at the end of the day for general question and answer and discussion. Now, I just want to hand over very briefly to Ricardo, because we've got quite a lot of people to thank. Because obviously this was particularly getting the print and everything was quite a lot of work. So I'll just hand over to
Yeah, I'll be very brief. I just really need to thank a few people that helped us put the program together in very different aspects and that allowed us to see some of the prints of Shoup, which actually was the program in the... that's for good. Basically, that helped us see some of the prints, locate some of the prints, which was extremely hard for some of the films. So obviously, I want to thank Peter Bagrov and Oleg Bashkov, who helped us and who sent us the print of today that we are going to see from Crossfilmo Fund, and also Christoph Huber and Georg Wasner at the Austrian Film Museum, where we were able to see the print, the wonderful print they have, 35mm print of The Great Way. They also have a great print of Romanov and Spain. So three beautiful prints of the Austrian film archive. Also the Cinémathèque Française that has a print of Komsomol that unfortunately we were not able to show, but hopefully well, we know there is one print close by. And also to I want to thank people, some of them which are present here, like Khaiza Sidenova. Thank you very much for helping us also getting in touch with some of the people who have the prints, also what we had to do. Also to Alex Graham, who's going to do the translation, the live translation of the intertitles of today. And who else? The Rotterdam Film Festival, which screened this film recently. They were also helpful with the procedures. And I also want to call your attention to and thank Eva. Sorry if I say your name wrong. Svetny for being here. Eva is doing her dissertation on Esfir Shub, and she recently had access to most of the archives and writings, and she's working about the writings of Shub, so she will also tell us something about her work. And finally, I want to thank Lilia Kaganovsky, who sent us the draft. We got in touch with her. She's preparing a book, upcoming book, about the transition in Soviet film from silent film to sound film. And she wrote a very good article about Komsomol. And we have included just a small excerpt here in the film notes. But the book is coming very soon, and you can find the reference to the book here in the notes. So I think without further delay, let's just start today.
Thank you for inviting me. Can I just ask before I start, has anybody ever seen a film by Esfir Shub? Has anybody ever seen a film by Esfir Shub that's not Fallen Romanovs? Just trying to work out where I'm pitching this. When I was asked to come to this event, I was very, very honoured, very pleased. And before I come to Birkbeck, and I thought I better try and remind myself why they would have invited me in the first place. So I dug out stuff that I'd written about Esfir Shub and discovered that I'd written a terribly important article which obviously changed the world. And it was 25 years ago, and I just sat there looking at this thing from 1990, written in 90, so it came out in 91, going, I never thought I'd get to somewhere where I was going, oh yeah, I've been doing this for 25 years. So I'm wondering if my mum will now really believe that I've got a proper job. When I wrote this article 25 years ago, and I will just refer to a few things, I've got a few quotes and some quotes from Esfir as well, so it'll kind of turn into a compilation documentary live on stage if I don't blind myself. So I wrote this article, and it's called Esfir Shub, a suitable case for treatment. And basically, I set out the idea that Shub was an important filmmaker and she was an important theorist, but in herself, she was a kind of important historical source, and we could learn stuff about the Soviet Union by finding out what she did, why she did it, how she did it, what pressures were on her. And I spent quite a lot of the article being very rude about other film historians who hadn't really got on with the job. My supervisor in Moscow was a guy called Sergei Drobyshenko, who was a Vertov man, but constantly saying, Esfir Shub's really important, Esfir Shub's really important. And I wrote in the article, Sergei Drobyshenko's always saying she's important, but he's done nothing about it. And I was very sneery. And then, who else did I attack? Everybody really, Richard Taylor. Every Soviet film historian, every time I saw Richard, I would say, why aren't you writing stuff about documentary? Why aren't you writing about women documentary filmmakers? So I took the moral high ground, and then I was writing my book about Soviet documentary, went to see the publisher, and in my bag, and if I get it back later on, there's a letter from the publisher saying, why don't you write a book about Esfir Shub? You could translate all the stuff, translate a biography, and then do a commentary. And there's a copy of my letter going, I'll do that straight away. That was 1993. And I didn't, because they asked me to write a book about Man with a Movie Camera. And it was an opportunity, just starting to have children, to say I had to go and sit in the attic for hours on end and watch Man with a Movie Camera over and over and over again. So that's what I did instead. And then, because I knew about Vertov, I went on tour with a band called In the Nursery, and they'd play, watch the film, they'd do the soundtrack, and I'd give a short speech. So for a short while, I was a rock star on the back of Ziga Vertov, and this stuff just got left behind. So what I'd really like to do today, first of all, is to thank you for inviting me, and to publicly apologise to Esfir Shub for the 25 years it's taken me to get round to thinking about her in any logical way. And I'm really glad you did, because it did make me think, and it also made me think that I haven't seen this film on a big screen in more than 20 years. So I'm genuinely excited, and I'm not going to speak for a long time because I really, really want to see the film. How much more do I really want to say? I want to show you a little bit of Fall of the Romanovs just to get us in the mood. Why is she important? Why is this stuff good? Why is this stuff worth watching? The main reason I think that S.V. Shubb is important is that her films are engaging, and certainly the trilogy that she did in 27 about the history of Russia and the revolution, and today, there's humour to it, there's wit to it, but most of all, there's an ability to contrast stuff. And what I really like about S.V. Shubb is her ability to use enemy material. Much of the 1927 films are made up of archive material shot by people who were definitely not in favour of the Russian Revolution. In fact, much of it is the Tsar's home movies. And yet she can take that and twist it, ironically, to give a completely opposite message. And I find that admirable, and I find it engaging. And in an effort to show you what I mean, I'm going to try and press that button, and maybe we'll see War Minister Kerensky, and maybe we won't, and if we don't, I'm going to do a short interpretive dance about the fall of capitalism. this is the last couple of minutes of the Fall of the Romanovs, and it takes us from Kerensky saying, hooray, we have won the revolution, the Tsar is gone, but by the way, we're still having a war, lads, and you're all going to die, through to the entrance of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. So wish me luck. Press play. The reason I want to show you that is, one, there's the nice little kind of throwaway line about Kerensky. He's a good guy, and then he sends people up to battle. But it's the way the film just builds towards the end. Crowds milling about, what's it for? Doesn't really make sense until you see the Bolshevik newspaper. Get organised, be calm, this is what we're ready to do. And then the whole film builds to a shot of Lenin smiling confidently at the end. I like the economy of it, I like the pace of it. I like the way that she can just use that material. She doesn't need to hammer the point home. She can use the banners. She can use the newspapers. And she does that throughout her work, and I think we're going to see it in today's film. I can't show you any of The Great Way today, unfortunately. I do have an old VHS copy, but it's practically unwatchable. But if you ever do get a chance, and apparently there are archived copies in Austria, at least. And there is a copy in the Imperial War Museum. Although it may be a little bit scratchy because I watched it about 150 times when I was writing the thing about Shum. And that was the first place I saw it. And the thing that struck me about that, because at that stage I'd only ever seen the Fall of the Romanovs, was the use of shots of the crowd. Because I kind of thought back to what it would be like in 1927 in Moscow to see those crowds on the screen, because those were the people who were watching the film, or their children. And I think that's a great motivational force in Shubb's work, and use of crowd shots. And this is you, this is your story, or your story compared to someone else's story. The other great thing about The Great Way, and I do recommend if you get a chance to see it, is it builds to a scene at the end where small children make a vow to continue the struggle of building the Soviet Union by their parents and their grandparents, who would have been in this film as archive footage, look on. And I think it's a very, very powerful piece of filmmaking. And I think today's film is a very, very powerful piece of filmmaking as well. And I did write down some stuff about that because they said, introduce today. So, I will. Everybody knows the 1927 trilogy is a great piece of work. It's in all the film history books. This is very, very good. S.V. Shubb is very, very good. What about the later stuff? Which is why it's a real pleasure to be here today, because I know we're going to be talking about films she made in the 30s. And the film we're going to see any minute now when I shut up is a film from 1930. It's called Today,
Svodnia,
and it was her final silent film. And in when I wrote about it, I suggested it was the last great silent documentary ever made. So I'd be very interested for those of you who are sitting around watching it, whether or not did I overstep the mark on that one. It's a very powerful piece of work, making a very strong message about something very specific. It's made in 1930, shot in 2930, and it is about the first five-year plan. It's about the end of the new economic policy and a certain level of liberalism. Shub, in her autobiography, writes very passionately about how she's against the new economic policy, she's against liberalism, she wants to build communism, and she's part of a movement of leftist intellectuals who very much welcomed the switch to a more centralised economy, a more centralised political system as well. And maybe they would have changed their mind a bit later when they saw what Stalin did with it. But this is a film of the five-year plan. It's about a change to a new Soviet Union. Great Way gets us to, we have built something. We've defeated the outside enemies. The Soviet Union is becoming a great industrialized power. This film is about, we are a great industrialized power. We will be the great industrialized power. There are other industrialized powers, and a very long section of the film, which I believe was missing until recently, is about what it's like in the other industrialized powers. And Shub does that thing that Shub does. She ironically undermines it. She shows stuff made in the West about how great the West is, and then she undermines it, either by comparing it to shots of things that are not so good, poverty, unemployment, the Ku Klux Klan, or she uses intertitles to undermine this effort and say, industrialization is good, power is good, Soviet power is what you want. It's a very clear political message. So, you will not be surprised to know that it was banned in the USA. I think you'll probably get why during this film. But what I will point out to you was that she also had quite a lot of trouble with it in the Soviet Union. In fact, it opened to a very, very poor review in Kino and Zhizn in 1930, where Shatov, who's the critic, describes it as, it's just a lot of titbits from Kusnik. It's just bits and bobs. What's it about? And there's almost this underlying criticism that this is just like Vertov. This is, everything's in it, all jumbled up. So he doesn't like it very much. And the captions do not convince. Well, I'll leave that to you to decide while you're watching it today. It was deeply, deeply misunderstood by Kino Front, which is the most radical of the cinema press at this time, based in Leningrad, so there's always an effort to kind of be more than Moscow's, which criticises the film for its relish and admiration for life in foreign countries and its openly bourgeois orientation. And the final line, I love this, how this anti-Soviet rubbish got on the screen is beyond comprehension. So I'll let you decide whether it's beyond comprehension as we watch it today. I'll leave you with the end of the film. This is a film which is a call to action. Be part of the five-year plan. Crush the kulaks, the rich peasants. Make the country strong. Be ready to fight the evils of the USA. And it ends with this, more or less. Some of the titles. Ready with us. Are you ready to defend the USSR and the proletariat of all lands? Well, I hope you are ready, because now we're going to watch the film. Thank you very much.